Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. All persons having business before this honorable court are admonished to draw near and give their attention as the court is now sitting. God save the United States and this honorable court.
Morning, ladies and gentlemen. First case for argument, United States versus Sheik. Sheik and Al Sheik. Mr. Winthrop.
May it please the court. Good morning. Peter Winthrop on behalf of Mr. Sheik. Your Honors, today I argue two issues. The first issue is the three-level enhancement that Mr. Sheik received under Section 3B1.1. The trial court found him to be a supervisor of otherwise extensive criminal activity. We would argue that he was, in fact, a supervisor and manager of the store, but he wasn't a supervisor of any criminal activity. His co-defendant, Mr. Raed El-Sheik, came in after he disposed of his interests, and the other person, the older person, there's nothing in the trial record which would indicate that, in fact, Mr. Sheik, my client, had any control over him. In addition to that, there's also no evidence that my client controlled Mr. Kelly in his criminal activity.
But isn't a big problem you have a Frost case that talks about otherwise extensive, and the district court made that specific finding. Why don't you speak to that? Because that's where your problem is. I don't think there's any debate as to direct supervision, but the number of people coming in, trading these things, I mean, that's where your problem is.
Yes, Your Honor. We would rely on the Bula case, U.S. versus Bula, which makes it clear that you need to have you need to control five participants in the criminal activity, even if he was some sort of a supervisor of criminal activity. It was not otherwise extensive. The finding was clearly erroneous. The lower court held it could not determine the number of participants here, and since it could not determine the number of participants, even if we include Mr. Kelly, the defendant El-Sheik, and the older gentleman, that's three people. So relying on this court decision in the Bullock case, you only have three people. In any event, assuming arguendo that he was some sort of a supervisor of criminal activity, which we're not conceding, because he was only a supervisor and manager of the store.
Yeah, but in the Frost case, there were two participants that could be identified, but there were many outsiders that were involved, and isn't that the same kind of situation we have here?
I think, Your Honor, it is not. The Frost case is the case of the dupes that were led into the college, the fake college that was set up. In the trial record, there's no indication of if there were any sellers or customers. It certainly was not clear that there was five or more participants in this activity.
How did we get to the amount of money involved then? The fraud of the government. How did we get to that amount without quite a few participants?
Well, Your Honor, I would agree with that speculation, but I don't think that we can go outside of the lower court's conspicuous lack of evidence as to the number of participants in this scheme. If they're unable to determine it, then certainly according to Bula, that we can't.
How much money was law 80?
My client was found to be responsible for 285 out of the 400, I believe.
400. You might think there might be more than three more people.
I wouldn't disagree, Your Honor. Our other point, of course, would be the two-level enhancement. The two-level enhancement based on the idea that my client lied during the court proceeding. We would only argue that even if our client said that he bought He never bought food stamps for cash, and he caught his partner doing this, and he did not report the food stamp fraud and continued to deposit food stamps. The court could have found him to be obstructing, even if they did not disbelieve him for those two statements. It is not clear that somehow that he explicitly perjured himself or that he lied to the court during his testimony.
Your light is on. Do you want to save some time for rebuttal?
I do.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Winkler. Mr. Truitt?
Thank you, Judge.
Good morning. May it please the court. The issue that the defendant Raed Al-Sheikh presents to this court is the sole issue involving an enhancement for an obstruction of justice. The district court specifically found and based its enhancement on the presumed or the implicit finding of the jury when they found him guilty. The district court judge analyzed that they must have believed that he knew that the food stamps that he was depositing had been purchased for cash, and he concluded from that they must also have believed that his testimony was false, that it was material, and that it was intentionally made or intended to deceive. We feel the district court judge committed plain error in this case because he conceded his authority, his role that is required by the guidelines in making independent findings to the jury, and did not make independent findings himself. This is in opposition to three cases that we've cited in our materials, the first one being United States versus Hofer, where the court found, the district court judge found that the defendant's testimony was completely outrageous. Also, in a decision of United States versus Hatch, H-A-C-H, this court approved the district court's finding of numerous discrepancies between the defendant's testimony and numerous other witnesses. In the United States versus Menting, the district court judge pointed to instances where the defendant's testimony clearly was contradicted by three witnesses whom the trial judge found credible. The result of using the jury's implicit finding or making presumptions based on their finding of guilt has a chilling effect on the defendant's ability to testify in his own behalf. Now, I know this court and Supreme Court and numerous other courts have clearly ruled that the right to testify in your own behalf does not include the right to present perjured testimony or false testimony, but to rely solely on that and not point to clear and specific instances of the record where the defendant's testimony was false confuses the I do not believe standard that the jury more than likely, and I'm guessing as well, employed in determining that Mr. Al-Sheikh was guilty to intentionally presenting false testimony on a material issue. I guess we could compare it in a simplistic, Columbus said the world was round, and others said, no, the world was flat. They didn't believe Columbus, but that didn't mean that Columbus was presenting false testimony or stating false facts. And see, my white light is on. In conclusion, even though the standard is high and we bear the standard of showing that the district court judge committed clear error, we feel that the record clearly supports that conclusion in this case, that by relying on the finding of the jury and not referring to specific articulable facts that would support the conclusion that he gave false testimony and that it was material and that it was willfully done as required by the sentencing guidelines, the court should reverse that finding and remand it back to the district court for resentencing. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Potter?
Good morning. May it please the court. Jonathan Potter representing the United States. The district court did not err in this case. First, to the perjury by both Raed and Jamal. The judge made specific, he sat as an independent fact finder and made specific findings of fact. First, as to the false statements for Raed. He found that the Raed's statement did not, that he did not know that food stamps were, he was redeeming were purchased for cash was false. And the record supports this conclusion. Raed and his partner Youssef, who was his father, brought in $531,000.
What I find troublesome about your case is Judge Miller's based his finding that Sheik was a supervisor entirely on the notion that he had supervised Kelly, which apparently there's no evidence, at least you don't argue it in your brief.
Your Honor, there isn't specific evidence that Jamal went out and told Kelly to round up customers. There is evidence that Kelly went out in the community and checked on the reputation
but
of the
community.
But in
your brief, I didn't understand you to be arguing that. I thought you relied for the supervisor finding on other evidence.
And there is plenty of other evidence.
But the other evidence isn't mentioned by Judge Miller. He just mentioned Kelly.
Yes, Your Honor, but the other thing is Judge Miller made a determination that he was a supervisor, but he also made the determination that this store was involved in extensive criminal activity. It was an extensive web of fraud. And
but am I correct that page 7 of the appendix, that first paragraph is the only discussion of the supervisor issue by Judge Miller?
You are correct, Your Honor.
And the only thing he says there about that he is that he instructed Kelly to engage in food stamp fraud. And you're not arguing that.
Well, Your Honor, it isn't clear from what Brett Kelly said at trial when he said, I went out and checked, I talked to these people out in the community. The store had a reputation in the community for as a place where you could commit food stamp fraud. Bring your food stamps in and sell them. That was clear from Brett Kelly's testimony. Whether Judge Miller's statement is precise in that Brett Kelly said he went out, he did check the reputation of the community. And the record amply supports everything that Judge Miller determined here as well. Because
no, it doesn't. I don't understand you. You just said it doesn't support what he said here.
Well, Your Honor, I said that it does support. It's just that Judge Miller put a different twist on the language.
I don't know what you're talking. Now I've lost you completely.
Your Honor, Brett
you
Kelly,
said flatly that Mr. Sheik directed Mr. Kelly to drum up people who were willing to sell their food stamps illegally. But I don't see where you argue that in your brief.
Well, Your Honor, we do argue in our brief that Brett Kelly went out and checked the reputation of the community.
That's a different point. The question is, did Sheik instruct Kelly to do that?
There is no evidence in the record of trial, Your Honor, or at the sentencing hearing that those words were said to Sheik. However, there is evidence that Brett Kelly went out in the community and talked amongst the community.
It doesn't matter if he wasn't told to do that by Sheik, does it? I don't get it.
Excuse me, Your Honor?
If he wasn't told to do that by Sheik, what difference does it make?
Well, Your Honor, if you look at the entire record here, it's clear that he was a supervisor.
But Judge Miller didn't look at the entire record. He just singled out a one point, directing Kelly to drum up people, and you agree that the record doesn't support that.
Doesn't say precisely that, yes, Your Honor.
You know what you said in your brief. Hey, you're saying something different, aren't you, from what you said in your brief?
No, Your Honor. We're saying that the entire record, this entire record, supports that Jamal, in fact, was a supervisor. He was a part owner of the store.
How many people worked at the store?
There were four people that worked at the store for sure during one period of time. May have been five. May have been Raed for a little period. Record isn't clear about
small,
that. Small store, yes, Your Honor. So there were four people that worked at that store. However, there were numerous people coming in and selling food stamps. The total volume of food stamps that went through the store is almost $1 million, and the two defendants in this case were held responsible for approximately $630,000 total. So it's a huge amount of volume going through the store. Another thing, Jamal was the...
Now, when I look at your brief, pages 14 to 17, that's your discussion of the supervisor issue, is it?
Yes, Your Honor, but it's much more than the 14 to 17. We also go into the other things in the record that support the judge's findings.
I don't understand. Is this or is this not the section of your brief in which you discuss that issue?
Yes, Your Honor.
Does the name Kelly appear in this section of the brief?
There's more than just that portion
of the brief. Answer my question.
No, Your Honor, I don't believe it does in those three pages.
So you're arguing for the supervisor enhancement on a basis that's completely different from what Judge Miller based it on.
No, Your Honor, we're saying that there's plenty of other evidence than that one statement by Judge Miller.
But you don't say anything about Kelly. That's not part of your case.
Your Honor, we do say something about Kelly in a few pages later on in that brief.
We're dealing with another issue?
No, with that issue, where we talk about the entire record supporting the judge's determination. And
I thought the next section of the brief is about the number of participants.
Yes, Your Honor, and the otherwise extensive, which is...
That's a different issue, isn't it?
Yes, Your Honor, but the judge also relied on that otherwise extensive and the Frost case. He said this case is all on all fours with Frost, in his opinion. And he's correct in that.
Because he thought that Kelly was one of the supervisees?
No, because of the otherwise extensive nature of the criminal conduct at this store. He mentions Brett Kelly and says that Jamal Shaker supervised Brett Kelly, but he relies in the end in the other...
All he said about the supervisor issue. That's what you said. That's his entire discussion, that paragraph.
Yes, Your Honor. That one paragraph is all he says about the supervisor issue, but he says, I'm relying on the otherwise extensive nature of the criminal activity in this store.
For another issue, the number of participants.
Number of participants, correct. There's abundant evidence in this record, Your Honor, to show that Jamal Shaikh was a supervisor. He's the one that handled all the finances, almost all the finances. He's the one that dealt with the accountants. He's the one that the accountant said, you know, you've got a problem. We've got too much cash going through the store. And he's the one that turned off the accountant and said, I'm not going to meet with you. He's made a meeting.
With outsiders is not what we usually think of as supervision.
Well, in this case, he was supervising that accountant, Your Honor. And the accountant said...
Why didn't Judge Miller say he was supervising an accountant? There's nothing about that in his opinion.
That's correct, Your Honor. There isn't anything about that. But we're looking at the record as a whole.
Well, you want us to make Judge Miller's finding.
No, Your Honor. We're saying that Judge Miller's finding is supported by...
No, you're not defending his finding. His only finding is that Sheep supervised Kelly. You don't defend that.
We believe we do, Your Honor.
You don't, because in your brief, when you talk about the supervisor issue, you don't even mention the name Kelly.
Well, Your Honor, there is no statement in the record that tracks exactly with what Judge Miller put in his memorandum opinion. That is true, and I can't argue with you there. But there is plenty of evidence that there was a supervisor relationship in the store, that Jamal Shaikh served as a supervisor over this store, and the evidence is abundant in the record for that. And Judge Miller relied on all that evidence. He just made one statement that he saw that Brett Kelly...
There is no indication that he relied on any additional evidence.
Well, Your Honor, I humbly disagree that there's plenty
of... You agreed. There was only one paragraph in which he discusses the issue, and the only thing he says in that paragraph is that Sheikh supervised Kelly.
Your Honor, I did not agree that there was only one paragraph that applied to this case. If you look at the facts in toto, it is clear that Jamal Shaikh was a supervisor. of the store. He was a part owner of the store, and he was the supervisor of a very large criminal enterprise. As to the other issues raised by... Sorry, my time is up. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Potter. Is there any rebuttal by Mr. Winthrop or Mr. Truitt? Mr. Winthrop?
Yes, sir. May it please the court, to distinguish Frost, Frost, of course, was a trade school that was involved with a staff and with an accountant and with staff that induced people to join their school, and they, by virtue of the fact that they induced people to join their school, they engaged in extensive criminal activity. This is, of course, in the present case at hand, is a mom-and-pop operation. And we just have Mr. Shake, his partner, and...
Well, the people that sold their food stamps for cash were committing criminal acts, weren't they?
Yes, Your Honor. I think that the distinction between participants and persons would be important here, especially in light of both Frost and Bula, that the persons involved in the present case at hand, the mom and pop operation, was Mr. Shake, his later to be a partner, and perhaps maybe involving Mr. Kelly, but it certainly is not clear. So even if we take those people, we certainly don't have five or more people that would be using the Bula standard of persons involved in the operation, which would not lead to the conclusion that it was an otherwise extensive criminal operation in which my client supervised. He certainly was a supervisor or manager of the store, but he certainly was not a supervisor or manager of the criminal activity.
Okay, thank you very much. And Mr. Truitt, you were appointed, were you not?
I'm with the Federal Community.
Yes, well, we thank you for your efforts on behalf of your client. Okay, next case for argument is